Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast on Fire, a sort of companion to the main podcast, the main anniversary show, Podcast on Fire 32. And my name is Kenneth Brilson, and I'm the only one here. And why is that? Has Ken taken over Podcast on Fire completely? Is this the true emergence of KenCast? Well, my reasoning was that throughout this year, in all sincerity, I've really looked up to all Stu's efforts, decisions, initiatives, everything from editing the shows the way he used to do, editing the shows the way he does now. And really, it all started with him doing this show on his own for the first time. 18 minutes of hell, as he described it. And in celebration, sort of, I know this is a lame idea, but in celebration, I thought that me and Mike Banner should do a solo show each, without any requirements as such in terms of length and content, and just do a celebration of Podcast on Fire 1 year anniversary and pay our respects to Stu. At least I am doing that. I don't know what Mike is doing. Perhaps he uses the solo format to give Stu a proper roasting. I don't know. But this companion show to Podcast on Fire with me, Kenneth Bolson, will focus on basically two subjects, and neither subject will probably be of interest to more than maybe two or three people will be interested, but fuck you. You're going to listen. Now. To me. No, I'm just kidding. As some of you know, I am the head writer of SoGoodReviews.com, a site I initiated but not created, because I'm really shit with HTML. So I got a friend called Matt who helped me out with the simple web design. And the reason I'm speaking about the site is not due to plugging at the top of the show. I might as well just skip the plugging that we feature in the usual show. But I'm going to speak of you as a amateur writer, and maybe some of you out there are thinking of, you know, feel the urge to write reviews or poems or short stories and novels or what have you, and just share with you this perspective of mine that led me to the constant writing on SoGoodReviews.com I do, and I also hope that will get me somewhere. Hopefully I can sort of make a living doing this, but it all started very early, obviously. I mean, you can look back at your childhood and see, for instance, whenever in school it was essay time, 99% of the class sighed, while the remainder of the class, the remainder 1%, i.e. me, was the only one who thought, this is going to be cool, I can use this, I need to write something, my fingers on fire, hopefully are going to be on fire. And it all at that time had to do with short stories, obviously not reviews, but I always felt a sensation, you know, a happy sensation to write at that time. And it's a shame I didn't save up on whatever I did write. I remember me and my friend did a sort of a tag team horror story. Not much blood, but just like a very, very black horror story, or black comedy. I remember an image of it. We had the devil smoking a cigar, which seemed suitable for the devil. And you know, move on a few years, and I am at the stage where I've watched Hong Kong movies for a few years, but John Woo stuff, many Chow Yun-fat movies, Wing Lab. And then I took a break for a few years, like between 1999 and 2001, I guess, or 2002, when I discovered the availability of so many movies on DVD that I could buy straight from Hong Kong cheaply. And once that started, I started to get into the groove again and watch what I've missed in terms of John Woo stuff and Chow Yun-fat stuff. But I also started to explore more, I remember one of the first DVDs that I got from like DDD House was, aside from Shaolin Soccer that everyone spoke of at the time, it was Bullets Over Summer by Wilson Yip. And it sort of started, it set me on the path of, acknowledging the smaller movies, because that's what I like to do. It's not an image of SoGoodReviews.com that is by choice just to be special. It's just the way I choose movies, really. And a few movies into this, like rediscovery of Hong Kong movies and digging deeper into the Wilson Yip filmography, this sensation, this is very individual, by the way, this is how I felt in terms of my writing. There was a sensation in my fingers, in a way, because there was so much impressions gathering up inside that had to come out, in a way. It's a natural thing, it just has to come out. The end result may be really, really, really poor, but at least you've gotten it out, and I think that's a good way to approach things. When you feel bad, for instance, I've learned that sometimes when I write what goes on in my head, doesn't need to be movie related, it helps. It just needs to get on paper, so to say, not structured, but as long as it's on paper, you can fine-tune it if you like. And when this happened in terms of reviewing, I just watched the old Andy Lau movie Return Engagement, which is a 1990 heroic bloodshed movie, and also the Louis Kuo Lao Ching-wan comedy La Brasserie, or however you want to pronounce it. And it was those two movies that made me, I need to write about these. And it struck me afterwards that this is how it works for me. I might as well try it again. Write a new review, see what happens, and so on and so on. It was built upon that sensation that it needs to get out, because I'm that kind of viewer that obviously analyze stuff, but also obviously I can just sit back, relax, and not write anything. But it was a calling in a way. You search for the things that you ask yourself, what am I good at? And I can honestly say that the sole thing I am good at is writing. It's not up to any elite level or anything like that, but I'm proud of my writing. Took it many years for me to acknowledge that, because obviously if you're a musician or a writer or what have you, you are your own worst self-critic, that applied for many years. And the other writers online, like Ross Chen at Love HK Film, John Charles of Hong Kong Digital, writers I look up to in jealousy, because you wanted to nail it as good as they did. Now, I have the obvious disadvantage of English being my second language, if you will. Not really the best person in terms of grammar. I just go by gut feeling. Hopefully it turns out right at least 7 out of 8, 10 times. But now when I've carved out this public image for my site, it's sort of that was my calling, I guess, to just do the way I choose movies is, as I said, is what ends up on the site, and it's what I like to do. And I'm obviously in a position where that is a blessing. I can do exactly what I do because I don't have to answer to anyone, and the site doesn't pay for itself either, so I can do exactly what I want to do, even though I have to pay for it. Might be different. Let's say if someone approached me and say, we'd like to hire you on a constant basis as a reviewer, but you can only review Jackie Chan or Jet Li films. That would obviously be a chance I would jump at, but it would be harder for me, because everyone has watched and everyone will watch Jet Li movies and Jackie Chan movies, and there's not much extra perspective for me to give, I feel. I'd rather go, walk my own path in a way. And even though I review movies like like Johnny To movies that obviously many people review nowadays, I feel I must, for my own sake, and I want as well. And that's the key for writers, that you are blessed if you can achieve the actual your desire to write a certain something. If you can do that, then that's the biggest blessing. And this rambling might reach an ending point now, where I'll say that just go out and do it. Just write if you feel there's something in you. It doesn't matter if it ends up, if it's basically child hieroglyphics on the page. At least you've gotten it out, the thing that's burning inside of you. I can highly recommend that. It's an unbeatable technique, as far as I'm concerned. But again, it's very much an individual thing. So I hope that little perspective on what got me to the point where I am today, which is not very far, to be honest. It's just a site that has been run for an X amount of years that is still not paying for itself. But it's desire, passion, and a sensation burning inside that sort of fuels my writing. And it leads us on to basically the second subject of this extra podcast, Mini Puff, Pork Chop on Fire, KenCast. And it's me talking about a movie, actually two movies in a way, but still one. And it's called Calamity of Snakes, and the other one is called Serpent Warriors. Now, over the course of this year on Podcast on Fire, we've all carved out identities, and my identity as well as many others, really. But I do like the drama, I do like the comedy, but I do like the sleaze and trash and gore and shameless exploitation. As some of you have noticed, that's when I light up the most. And it's true, I like bad cinema because it's always explained this way for me, and it always should be explained this way. It's a cinema you can laugh with, and it's cinema you can laugh at. And it's, in this case, in the case of Calamity of Snakes, it's a cinema you can be horrified by and sort of horrified with. And in an effort to make this podcast a little bit more interactive, I'm going to point you to the podcast post on the main page, where you'll see two YouTube clips from this movie. And the first one is a sort of a fight, a kung fu fight with a giant snake. It's easily described as, but I can't really do it justice. And the second one is, again, the giant snake of this film. Humans trying to fight it. In the first one is just one, and the second one is several humans tries to fight this. And I'll stop right there because I need to see if you can sort of get into what I'm going to speak of for the next few minutes to give you an impression of this movie. And I shall state that the movie Calamity of Snake contains a shitload of animal cruelty, but these scenes on YouTube do not. They're mainly special effects scenes. This giant snake is a really poor special effect. So watch these clips. They're a few minutes each. You might hate it, or you might be in the mindset of me already, or will get into the same mindset. So click on those, and I'll see you in a little bit. So do you now know, people, how deranged I am? Deranged I am? Does he really watch these kind of movies? Who can watch these kind of movies? Well, speaking of Calamity of Snakes, a whole host of people can, and a whole host of people love this movie. And in short, it's a as far as I've gathered, a 1983 Taiwan production, directed by William Cheung, and William Cheung directed a movie I spoke about on Podcast on Fire called The Eagle's Killer, the movie with the vicious kung fu ass rape. So this director, William Cheung, is obviously in an exploitation sort of mind. And I first saw this movie, as many others have, on a full-screen, non-subtitled Cantonese language VCD or Laserdisc. And normally I wouldn't go into a movie like that, because I do need subtitles, and it needs to be really simple and straight for me to, you know, even write about the movie lacking subtitles. I think it's this movie and a movie called Devil of Rape that, you know, you really don't need subtitles to know what it's about. And Calamity of Snakes is about a building project going on, and at the beginning of the film, the construction crew finds in a pit a shitload of snakes, a nest basically. And this this chief of the construction, he really have no respect for human life, and he decides the building, the construction must go on. The snakes has to go. So he gets into one of the construction machines and viciously slaughter all these snakes basically, and gets his men to do the same. And now at the beginning of this movie, this is a point where most people will flinch, turn off. Hopefully not be turned on, but still, but in a way, continue to watch, because obviously now there's really something fucked up going on, because this like 5 minute scene is just filled with real cruelty towards snakes being hacked to death for real by other large machinery or you know, picks and axes and what have you. And yeah, it's not in a way acceptable, but there's something about, I always have a tough time justifying the reason why I go into these films, and it's kind of, you do want to see, as Mike Mann once said, fucked up shit, but you're not necessarily, you know, into cruelty towards animals automatically because of that. It is a movie, it is politically incorrect, but it is there is an intensity that is sort of valid, at least in this case, that makes you want to watch on. And it's not even exploitation anymore, it's snakesploitation, which is a thing I stole off the internet. And I'm going to look here. I had a user review online that I quite liked that I'm going to quote, and this is the reason I like this podcast. It's sort of it's very naked. This is not being edited. So, looking at it here. I actually had this review. I wonder why I lost it. Yeah, here we are. So, my writing can't really do this movie justice. I'll just just use a few quotes here. If you don't like Calamity of Snakes, you're either a direct relative of a snake or some super Peter crybaby. This one has it all. More snakes than you can shake a fucking snake at, and then even more snakes. So, there you are. And some people may have seen the movie Killer Snakes from Shaw Brothers, which is does feature real cruelty, animal cruelty, and is quite an atmospheric horror movie, very well made. But Calamity of Snakes doesn't really care for plot, hence the reason why it can be followed very easily sans subtitles. Because after humans go rampage, go after the snakes and hacks them to bits, and hits them with a dose of Mungo's Fury, in more sequences throughout the film that is shown in glorious close-ups and gleefully running several minutes each. Calamity of Snakes could have mattered and stood proudly to the killer snakes if it had featured, atmosphere and sort of a fairly good story. But William Cheung, the director, knows his limitations. So he pours all his hopes and dreams into the full-on Snake Terror instead. And it's unfortunately intercut with clownish comedy mainly from actor Wei Ping Ao, who was in Fist of Fury and Way of the Dragon, playing sort of a slimy interpreter in each of the movies, I believe. And these snake attacks are sort of orchestrated by one major snake, a giant snake, probably supernatural snake, who never gets a quiet, calm, revealing shot, as it's such a poorly realized special effect, as you can see in the first clip, which is actually a snake expert that goes in to handle this big snake and hopefully put an end to the Snake Terror. It's actually in the middle of the film. Eventually, that doesn't really work, and humans try out some other tactics, but in the end, when they built their great apartment complex, they are during the end reel attacked viciously by about 2 billion of these snakes, and it's one of the most intense reels to a movie I've ever seen, because director Chung, he stages some the reason why these scenes are so incredibly intense is the actors are in it. They are covered in them. They are rolling around in these snakes, and it's even though part of these attacks, this ending reel is obviously faked, it's this conscious eagerness to numb our minds with this. I can't really describe how intense this movie is, and it's this conscious eagerness to numb our minds that creates the impact that Calamity of Snake genuinely has, for better or worse. I mean, it should be accompanied with a warning that not for the faint of heart, but for a reason it's on many top 10 lists, you know, by people who appreciates this kind of like trashy cinema in a way. People saying like the best Animal Rampage movie ever, and let's see some other quotes here from around the net. It's not pretty, not a bit. And yeah, obvious quotes like "If snakes give you the willies, stay away from this film." And yeah, it's I'm going to lead into why there's a second movie to be spoken of after this strange rambling of mine. I should mention that I had the fortune of watching this movie in widescreen on Japanese VHS, which is dubbed into English, which makes all the difference, because it's a very wide shot film. It's like a 2:3:5 aspect ratio, so you can see the full snake attacks in widescreen. But it sort of is the movie benefits from having a tight frame, because it's so in your face in a way. But a few years after this movie, which has the copyright, I believe, of 1983, 2 years later, a movie called The Serpent, The Warrior surfaced, which is an American B-movie with the following plot synopsis I'm going to read straight off Internet Movie Database. So, a zoologist is called to a construction site that has been plagued by snake. He finds snakes. He finds out that the place once was the ancient headquarters of a snake-worshipping cult, and that the same cult placed a curse on the grounds. Soon, the zoologist and the workers find themselves under attack by hundreds of deadly snakes. And what this is akin to what IFD did with movies, IFD being the people that gave us these cut-and-paste ninja films. They took like half of Calamity of Snakes, the best scenes, basically snake terror scenes, only sans most of the in-your-face cruelty, and spliced it together with this American B-movie with English actors, American actors, among others Eartha Kitt, who plays the snake priestess, and she, to me, I only know her from like the old Batman TV series with Adam West. She played a Catwoman, I believe. And the movie is therefore set quite a bit in the Mexican desert where the snake cult is about. And among the two movies, Calamity is easily the better one, because The Serpent Wars is just so hokey and so bad, especially when you see this snake cult sort of gathering of hippies, basically. I'm gonna look up some more here, so someone describing it better than me. But basically, you long for the Taiwan movie to regain the power over the film, the dominance over the film. When I watched it, I noticed that it seems like a co-production of sorts, because some of the original cast appears in Serpent Warriors in footage clearly originally spoken in English, and it's not like it's deleted scenes from Calamity. It seems like they were shot at the same time, only released a few years apart. So it's interesting in that regard that it offers up a sort of an alternative version of the film. It's both are B movies, but Serpent Warriors really is the more boring of the films, because it doesn't retain the intensity that William Jung originally created, because it shortens so much of the snake attacks. They don't have the same effects. It's really sort of a vicious cut and paste experience, and The Serpent Warriors therefore is only good for its basically all the scenes with Eartha Kitt as the snake priestess and her snake cult, and as a sort of a companion piece also to Calamity of Snakes, if you're into the movie and want to examine sort of a trivia behind it. The Serpent Warriors is fun to watch at least once, because it's not like it cuts out the worst parts of Calamity of Snakes and make the movie flow better, even though you're only seeing the original footage being the attack scenes. I'll happily sit through the original movie many times, because it's such a damn, I dare say, fun, flashy, sleazy, in-your-face, shameless, fucked-up movie. And I guess that's summarizes that rambling very well. The thing is, though, The Serpent Warriors has probably been the most obtainable movie. Calamity of Snakes has been very rare, even though Ocean Shores put it out on VCD and Laserdisc and probably VHS. But amongst the two, I think you should try and seek out Calamity, because if you can endure it, then it's the more unique original movie compared to The Serpent Warriors. So I guess that's summarizes it. I hope this 30, 40, probably 20-minute though ramble didn't confuse you, but it was two topics that I want to speak about. And again, I do understand, Stu, that this is pure hell in a way, but I've had fun, but I would want to do this for 2 hours straight. And people out there doing audio commentaries the same way, solo, they deserve my respect. So even though the likes of Stefan Hammond and Rick Myers, whatever, don't, because one makes up shit and one just acts as the play-by-play commentator. Find out who. So I guess that's it. If you've endured this, then congratulations. And if you've not, then I won't take offense, because I don't care. It's just this goes out to Stu, basically. And hope you all enjoy what hopefully will be another year of Podcast on Fires. I promise you, they won't be retitled Pork Chop on Fire or To Ken Cast or anything like that. It'll be Mike, it'll be Stu, and it'll be Ken, complimenting each other as we've always done. So this is Kenneth Wilson signing off. Have a good one. See you out there. Bye bye.